He led a merry life, went to masquerades every night, made paper dolls out of banknotes, and played ducks and drakes at the lake with gold pieces instead of pebbles. This makes the money go, and his inheritance was soon gone. At last he had only 4 pennies, and only a pair of slippers and a dressing gown to wear. Now his former friends didn't care for him any more, as he could no longer appear in public with them, but one of them was so good as to send him an old trunk, with the hint that he pack and be off. This was all very well, but he had nothing to pack, and so he sat himself in it. It was no ordinary trunk. Press on the lock, and it would fly. And that's just what it did. Whisk! It flew up the chimney and over the clouds and away through the skies. The bottom of it was so creaky that he feared he would fall through it, and what a fine somersault he would have made then. Good gracious! But at long last he came down safely in the land of the Turks. He hid his trunk under some dry leaves in the woods and set off toward the nearest town. He could do so very well, for the Turks all wear dressing gowns and slippers just as he did. When he passed a nurse with a child, he said, "Hello, Turkish nurse. Tell me, what's that great big palace at the edge of town, the one that has its windows up so high?" "That's where the Sultan's daughter lives," said the nurse. "It has been foretold that she will be unhappy when she falls in love, so no one is ever permitted to visit her except in the presence of her mother and father." "Thank you," said the merchant's son. Back he went to the woods, sat in his trunk, and whisked off to the roof of the palace. From there, he climbed in at the princess's window. She lay fast asleep on a sofa, and she looked so lovely that the merchant's son couldn't help kissing her. She woke up and was terribly frightened, but he told her he was a Turkish prophet who had sailed through the air just to see her. This pleased her very much. As they sat there side by side, he told her stories about her eyes. He said they were beautifully dark, deep lakes in which her thoughts went swimming by like mermaids. He told her about her forehead, which he compared to a snow-covered mountainside with its many wonderful halls and pictures. Then he told her about the stork, which brings lovely little children from over the sea. Oh, they were such pretty stories. Then he asked her to marry him. And the princess said yes, right away. "But you must come on Saturday," she told him, "when my mother and father will be here to have tea with me. They will be so proud when I tell them I'm going to marry a prophet. But be sure you have a really pretty tale to tell them, for both my parents love stories. My mother likes them to be elevating and moral, but my father likes them merry, to make him laugh." "I shall bring no other wedding present than a fairy tale," he told her. And so they parted. But first the princess made him a present of a gold saber all covered with gold pieces, and this came in very handy. He flew away, bought himself a new dressing gown, and went to the woods to invent a fairy tale. That wasn't so easy. However, he had it ready promptly on Saturday. The Sultan, his wife, and the whole court awaited him at the princess's tea party. They gave him a splendid reception. "Won't you tell us a story?" said the Sultan's wife. "One that is instructive and thoughtful."
"One that will make us laugh, too," said the Sultan.
"To be sure," he said, and started his story. "Now, listen closely. There once was a bundle of matches, and they were particularly proud of their lofty ancestry. Their family tree, that is to say, the great pine tree of which they were little splinters, had been a great old tree in the forest. As the matches lay on the kitchen shelf, they talked of their younger days to the tinderbox and an old iron pot beside them. "When we were a part of the green branches," they said, "then we really were on a green branch. Every morning and evening we were served the diamond tea that is called dewdrops. We had sunshine all day long, and the little birds had to tell us stories. It was plain to see that we were wealthy, for while the other trees' garments lasted only the summer, our family could afford to wear green clothes all year round. But then the woodcutters came. There was a big revolution, and our family was broken up. The chief support of our family got a place as the main mast on a fine ship that could sail around the world if need be. The other branches were scattered in different directions, and now our task is to bring light to the lower classes. That's the reason we distinguished people came to this kitchen."
"My lot has been quite different," said the iron pot who stood next to the matches. "From the moment I came..."